this morning. I want you to, I mentioned already, I'm not going to preach on missions. I may this evening. We'll see what the Lord leads in that. But I certainly want to continue on. I want to preach in Luke chapter number 8. And I want you to look at verse number 22, if you wouldn't mind. I'm looking at Luke chapter 8, verse 22. As you find your place there, I did hear this story. You're finding your place in Luke 8. I did hear this story about this couple, husband and wife. They're driving down through Texas. Texas is a big spot. And so, Leroy, I thought you was going to say something about me.
Well, you weren't busy. I couldn't tell.
Boy. Come on up here for a minute. Leroy just got out of the institution, and so we're very thankful we made it to church this morning.
What I really want to say about, you know, this is Missions Month, and you hear our pastor, which I'm really, really pleased with having one like him, because he brings up the bus ministry quite a bit, and he's always saying we need workers. I didn't know we worked, but I just wanted to... For the people that don't know this, y'all are in the bus ministry. Because if it wasn't for, I call these Ewans over here and them in the middle and y'all over here. And when we put all three together, it's like the Trinity, you know. When we get all of you together, it's one. But anyway, I'll get with some serious stuff. But really, the bus ministry, I'll give you a little... It'll say what we do. We pick up boys and girls, and that's what we mainly we hit for, but we get adults too. And our motto is give me 40 kids over two adults, but that's another story. But really, what we do is pick up boys and girls. You just heard what they sung. We get to tell them about a God in heaven that loves them so much that he sent his son. And we pick some of them up. A lot of them just the grandparents, and sometimes just the grandma. And there's three or four or five kids. And I get the privilege of being a father figure. Now that's scary, isn't it? But that's what we do. We pick them up, and they like to sit with me. I can't sit with them all of them, but. We sit with them and talk to them and let them know that we love them. Because they hear about Jesus, but they've never seen him. So it's our responsibility to love on them and care for them. And even sometimes we have to take their parents to the doctor and stuff like that. But that's what the bus ministry is all about. And I was asking the pastor, I said, is bus ministry sort of a missions? And he said, yep, he stepped into this. And he said, yes. I said, well, can I put a box out there with bus on it? Now, most of you know what I'm talking about But here's what I would like for you to do. We don't need no gift cards in a box. But sometimes, think about it. If nothing else, just ride a bus home. You can sit with the kids. And what we do is we sit with them and talk to them. And some of the things you might not want to learn, but I learn them. But that, next Sunday will be September the 28th, 1980. God, let me start. Y'all supported it. To take a bus and go to Johnson City and pick up boys and girls. And God is so wonderful and so marvelous. The bus ministry is the reason I'm here. So some of you might say, oh, no. But my boys rode the church bus before I was ever saved. And when my mother-in-law passed away, the bus captain and preacher lad had come by the funeral and led me to the Lord. And next week, I started riding the bus. And I've done it for 45 years. And I had a son that was in the bus ministry. Well, both of my sons in the bus ministry. And it's just a privilege. And I just want to thank you for supporting the bus ministry. And I can't buy the fuel, I can't buy the bus, but y'all bought it for me, so that's it.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh, I'm supposed to introduce our great, wonderful, marvelous speaker today.
Thank you. That's why we brought you up here. Yes. And praise the Lord for the bus ministry at Buffalo Ridge. And we are praying. I make no bones about it. I don't try to hide it. We're praying for folks that would surrender to the mission field of Gray or Johnson City or Kingsport, and that some folks might feel led of the Lord to get on these buses and reach folks that desperately need to hear the gospel and need to have somebody love them, because that's what our missionaries do. That's what the Williamses will do when they get to UK, just go out and find people that need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them and be an example and show them the gospel. So thank you so much, Leroy. We appreciate that. Well, we'll get back to Luke chapter 8. We're going to look there at Luke chapter 8 as you find your place there. I did hear this story about this husband and wife. They were driving down through Texas, and they came upon a sign. It was long down, told how far it was from Nacogdoches, Texas. Nacogdoches is the oldest town in Texas, so I'm told. And so they were arguing, though. I know you and your spouse would never do that. I know that you would never, of course not. Obviously, they're much worse than you. But they were arguing back and forth about how it said and how it was pronounced. And one said one way, the other said the other way. And they were both convinced they were right. And so the man, as happens sometimes with men, ladies, you know this, that he said, I'm going to show her I am right. In West Virginia, you say, I'm going to break her from sucking eggs. I'm going to show her that I know what I'm talking about and show her she's wrong. So they went down there, they got in and finally got to the town. And so they pulled in and they went to a restaurant. They were going to eat anyways. They said, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to find somebody that's from here and I'm going to have them tell her that I'm right. So they go up to the counter. Asked his employee, said, are you from here? Said, oh, yeah. Have you lived here a long time? Oh, all my life. Said, oh, good. And he said, I am wanting you to prove to my wife that I'm right. I need you to help me. I want you to tell me and help me say how we pronounce this place. Could you do that? He said, yeah, sure. Yeah, I can do it. He said, you've lived here. Yes, I have. And he said, all right, I want you to say it very, very slow because I know I'm right, and I want my wife to know it at the end. Could you slowly tell me how to pronounce this place? And she leaned forward across the counter and she said, Burger King. Not exactly what he wanted, but that's what he got. Still not sure how to pronounce the town. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 22, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. I want to preach for a little while about that. Master, we perish. Over in Mark, the parallel passage of this, the other gospel, it says this, Master, care us not that we perish. And this wonderful passage gives so many good truths. And there's so many great lessons that we can learn. This storm has everybody in an uproar because they're in jeopardy. That's what the Bible says. But that storm that was getting everybody's life in jeopardy was calmed by just the word of the Lord Jesus. He said, peace, be still. And I'm thinking about this tonight as we're Christians in this room, many of you, most of us, you're Christians and we know the Lord. What is it that's in your life and that's in your life that's keeping you from being at peace? What keeps you up at night? One preacher put it like this, if I knew the Lord Jesus Christ was in the next room praying for me, I think I would let nothing bother me. But then he said, why would distance matter? Because the Bible says that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. Why would it matter if he's in the next room or in heaven making intercession for us? My friend, you and I, if you're Christian, you have the promise of the ever-interceding Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid that some of us as Christians, we're not very good examples in this. We allow ourselves to be worried and kept up at night. And we see that they are in much jeopardy, but they're worried. I want you to look here. The Bible says, when verse number 24, and they came to him. Obviously, they, the more plural, had already talked amongst themselves and said, it's really bad, and I don't know what we're going to do. And they had already talked about it to one another. I mean, they didn't go singularly to Christ. They went together. They went to him. And I'm thinking about this. How many times is it in my life that I'll talk to you about a problem before I'll talk to the Lord about it? I will hash it out and gossip and talk and configure and see how it is that we can do something amongst ourselves before I go to the Lord. The Bible says they came to him. I heard of church trouble this week at a church that I'm familiar with, and it went past unkind things, and they were saying a lot of gossip and different things, and I have no idea where right and wrong is in it. It's not here, thank God. But we're often quick to talk about things to people instead of talking to the Lord, the one that can do things about whatever the problem is that we're facing. And if I'm the only one in the room, which I doubt I am, then I will confess that and say, Lord, forgive me for not being that one that goes to you about problems. But we see the disciples, they go to each other, then they finally come to him. But I want to give you three lessons, if I could, from this passage that I trust will be a blessing. It really worked on my heart. In verse number 22, we're going to see that Jesus said, and if you've got a red letter Bible, you'll see it in red, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But I want to give you this first lesson, and that is this. Number one, they forgot what he told them. They forgot what Jesus told them because he said, let us go to the other side. If we were a class and you were the students and I was the teacher, I would say, class, where did they start? Well, they started on one side of the Sea of Galilee or the lake there. Now, that's about 12 miles one way, 6 miles the other way. Historians say it was a little larger at that point in Bible times, but regardless, and if I was that class, or were there that class, I'd say, class, where did they start? Well, they start on one side or the other. I said, class, where were they going? Jesus said, they're going to the other side. And I'd say, class, where was the trouble? Somewhere in between. But you understand where I'm going, and that is this, that Jesus tells them that we are going from here to there. So can you believe, understand with me that that was a sure thing, that was a certainty that they were going to make it to the other side because Jesus said to them, let us, that's all of us, let us go over unto the other side. I think about this when the Lord leads you in something and shows you. One old preacher said, don't undo in the night what God gave you in the light. When God shows you something and he shows you from his word or he shows you in the light, that you can rest assured that God will perform what God orders. One person said, what he orders, he pays for. I was praying about an important decision about whether to move to Gray, Tennessee and pastor here. And I was worried. Our church was doing so well and God was blessing in so many areas and financially things were coming up and all of this, and I was worried. I didn't want to step out of the will of God. I didn't want to get into a place where I wasn't exactly where God wanted me to be, and I was laboring and worrying some and praying and seeking. And I came to Psalm 118, verse number 17 says this. Can I read it to you? I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. It was almost as if the Lord just magnified that verse in my mind as I was praying there in my study at our church. And I said, Lord, I'm going to do the works of the Lord. I'm going to declare your word. And God just seemed to put a peace over me and say, yes, it is good. And it's my will. God seemed to impress upon me. And God gave that peace that I would come and see his hand move. And I'm thankful that the Lord gave that assurance. But this group of disciples, they lost sight of the fact that Jesus had told them, you and me and the rest of us, we're going from here to the other side. And they had lost that. And I'm thinking about you in your life and me in my life. What is it that we've lost sight of in the promises of God that he's given us? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I meet Christian people on a regular basis that they're going through problems that other unsaved people do. They're going through problems that the world goes through, and they are facing them in much the same fashion. My friend, these things ought not to be. The problems that you have, they don't have to be faced in the same way that somebody who does not know Jesus Christ has and faced them in that way. But what is it that keeps you up at night? And what is it that you've forgotten? Maybe it's that God says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Bible says in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm afraid that we spend much of our days and much of our time worrying about all these things. And God says, you concern yourself with seeking me, and all those things will be added unto you. But it seems that the disciples forgot what he told them, that we are going over there. My friend, one of these days, we are going over there. Not across the sea, not across some water, but we're going across to the other side to the Lord. And so, my friend, your ticket is punched, if you want to look at it that way. If you're saved, your salvation is secure. Your home in heaven is secure. And you have that promise. And sometimes, though, we worry about all that is going on down here, when instead what we should do is thank God that he's got it all taken care of. They forgot what he had taught them. But not only that, I give you this second statement. In verse number 23, the Bible says, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. I give you this second thought, and that is this, that no Christian is in danger while he's in the will of God. No Christian is in danger while he's in the will of God. You say, Pastor, I got you there. There are some dangerous things happening when people are in the will of God. What about Stephen? Acts chapter 7 says this, and they stoned Stephen, and he was calling upon God. And the next verse it says, and he, Stephen, fell asleep. He was stoned to death, and they killed him for his faith. Yes, that's true. I can take you to another one if you didn't think of it already. In Job, in the Old Testament, chapter 23, verse 16, the Almighty troubleth me. And here are people that are in the will of God. Here are people that are serving God. And yet things happen to them that aren't pleasant. We had one just a week and a half. A soldier of the cross standing for the Lord was gunned down. And we understand that those things happen. But it's still true what I told you, that no Christian is in danger while he's in the will of God, because the Apostle Paul said it like this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he goes on to say, to be present with the Lord, another passage, that's far better. One old preacher was had a gun pointed to him, and the person was threatening to kill him. And in his calm presence of mind, he told him, you can't threaten me with heaven. Now, if somebody pulls a gun on me, I will not have the faith that John Rice did. That was the guy that said that. I'll say, what do you want? In my wallet, you want everything? Save me, please. I've got a grandson. I need to live. He was here this morning, by the early service, by the way, and you missed him. I was hoping he'd stay all the time, but Mimi said, no, he's got to get home and get to nap. So that's where he's at. We're watching him this week, so pray for us. If I come in here and eyes are red and, you know, I'm sagging down, I say, okay, well, you know why. But that old preacher said, you can't threaten me with heaven. And truly, he walked with the Lord, and he knew that if God allowed him to leave this world, then heaven would be where he would awake. So my friend, these disciples forgot that no Christian is in danger who's in the will of God. How about Daniel in the lion's den? How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You remember those three fellows? I love what Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 says about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace. They got cast in and they survived. But they said, our God to that king is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But then it's just another verse or so later. I love this part because it's almost like the contingency clause. It's almost just in case. And they said all that, God will deliver us. But then the next verse says, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship thy golden image. What were they saying? They're saying God's going to protect us. But if he doesn't protect us the way that we're hoping he does, he's still God, and he's still got us taken care of. I pray all the time, as you do as well, for different folks that are in our church family that love the Lord and cancer has invaded their body or some other sickness, and we pray for deliverance, we pray for strengthening from there. But I was brought to face to face with the fact some years ago when somebody was describing or talking about their loved one and they had been sick, and they ultimately eventually went on to heaven, and a light bulb moment went off in my mind when that loved one said, well, they finally got complete healing. What do they say? Psh, mind blown. It's like, that's right. That's not what I was praying for. But now they're not worried about any of the issues that they still would have had even if the sickness had been taken care of. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But if not, we're still going to serve the Lord. One commentator put it like this: one is safer with him in the night than being alone in the daytime. We've all gone through, when we were kids, gone through buildings it was dark. And when you were in there, we used to have to walk through our church building we lived behind it. You'd walk through it typically, and it's just creepy and creaks and stuff going on. It makes you think that old people are living down there in the boiler room or something, and you're trying to get out. Your imagination runs wild with you. But that commentator was right. Better to be with him in the dark than alone in the daylight. And these people forgot that no Christian is in danger while they're in the will of the Lord. This was a severe storm. The Bible says they were filled with water and they were in jeopardy, but they were safe in his will. Let me give you this last one. I want you to see what Jesus rebuked him for. Verse number 25. He said unto them, where is your faith? He didn't rebuke them for waking him up. He didn't rebuke them for waking him up. He was asleep in the back of the boat, the scripture says. The other parallel passage gives a little bit more explanation of it, but he's asleep there. And they come and they wake him. They say, Master, Master, we perish, verse number 24. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. Look at this. He doesn't rebuke them for waking him up. That doesn't bother him. He doesn't rebuke them for asking him, don't you care about us? Our friend John Bishop says, it's not wrong to ask why. He said, Jesus asked why. Lord, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't think there's anything wrong with you saying, Lord, I don't know why we're going through this right now in our family. I don't think that's wrong, but I do think it's wrong when we don't get to that spiritual step where we say, I don't understand why, but Lord, I'm going to trust you even in the season when I don't know why. And so Jesus doesn't rebuke them for waking him up. He doesn't rebuke them for asking if he cares about them. What he was disappointed in was their lack of faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? He asked them. You remember Peter? He walked on the water. And sometimes we'll preach messages of that Peter, goodness, stinking fella. Why did he sink? And I said, man, I'm amazed he got out there. I'm not surprised he sank. I'm surprised that he did to begin with. But Jesus asked him, said to him, Peter, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And my friend, this morning, what Jesus rebukes those disciples about is that their faith was not trusting. It was not fervent. Their faith was not in him. And so I ask you this morning, are you trusting him? If you're a Christian in this room, are you faithful, meaning full of faith, and you're believing on him, trusting in him, the problems that are going on in your body and your life and your family and your situation and whatever it is, your job, and I don't know, all of these things, or is it firmly placed in him? A family member of mine is not certain quite right now about their job, but they told me the other day, said, we're just trusting God. God's the one that gave it. God's the one that can keep it or give us a different one. That's faith. These disciples forgot who they were with. When Jesus said, we're going to the other side, you can mark it down, you're going to the other side. And when Jesus says he's going to never leave you nor forsake you, you can mark it down, he's not going to leave you. When he says that he'll be with you, you can count on him that he'll be with you. So what does God tell everyone today? Have faith. If you're here in this room and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, my friend, you are letting things trouble you that have no business troubling you. You can trust and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that He will get you through whatever. It may not be the plan or the path that you thought it would be, but you can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, but if it ain't the way I thought it was going to be, God, we're still going to serve you. We're still going to trust you. And if you're here today and you're not saved, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're not that one that can say, Lord, I can trust you through anything, because you don't know if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My friend, today's the day. Put your faith in Him as your Savior. And then number three, let me give you this last thought. That is, with Him, difficulty is better than a life of ease without Him. Philippians chapter 1 says this, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. And you, my friend, if you know the Lord, you are on the winning side, as the songwriter said. And difficulty with the Lord is better than a life of ease without Him. Regardless of where you are this morning, I pray that everybody in this building does business with the Lord. If you're a Christian, that you put your faith, a confidence again, saying, Lord, I know you will work in this situation. And if you don't know the Lord, that today would be the day that you receive Him for full forgiveness of your sins. Would you bow your heads together with me? As Miss Devin and Miss Mariana come to the instruments. Master, we perish. The other passage, carest not that we perish? Oh, He cares. They forgot who they had on the boat. They forgot that Jesus was on the boat, and Jesus had told them, we're going to the other side. That they were just as sure as if they'd already been there, because Jesus is the one that proclaimed it. How about you, my friend? Have you forgotten some of the promises that God has given you? Have you forgotten some of the assurances that He gave you in His Word? I challenge you, as they're coming flooding back right at this very moment, that you'll grab onto each one of them and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. You're rehearsing those. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You and I, we forget those promises sometimes. Oh, my friend, let's remember, let's have faith in God that He's going to see us through. If you're here not sure you're saved, listen, my friend, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wouldn't you put your faith in Him alone today as your Savior? As they begin to play, and if you're able to, would you stand just to make it a little easier for somebody to get out? And if God's dealt with your heart, would you step out and come? Maybe you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. We can't do that for you, but Brother Daniel's right down here in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure your faith is in Him. Your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that can save you. Would you come? Maybe you're a Christian, but you've been forgetting the promises of God. You've not been having faith in Him like you should. Would you step out and come and recommit yourself? Say, Lord, I'm trusting You. Maybe there's some other spiritual need. Maybe you need to be baptized. You are saved, but you need to be baptized. You come present yourself. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come and present yourself for membership. This altar is open for you. We'll just give you a few minutes. You come, do business with the Lord. As they continue to play, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you. Some spiritual decision you need to make, you want somebody to pray with you, we'd be glad to do that. Need to join Buffalo Ridge, need to be baptized, need to have some prayer help and some issue going on in your life, you step out, come. Brother Daniel will meet you right down here at the front. You join these that are here. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it is a joy to be at church this morning. And I trust that the Lord has done a great work in your heart. I'm going to ask the Williamses, if they don't mind, to slip back to their table. And I'd love for you to get a prayer card. Be praying for this young couple. The Lord has put a great burden on their lives to reach people with the gospel. And we want to do our part in prayer and support of them and encouraging them. So please get something as you go by and remind yourself to pray. And invite you tonight. We'll have a good time in the house of the Lord. The Williams will be presenting part of their ministry. I'll be preaching as well. We'll have a great time in the house of the Lord. But please, men, don't forget, if you would are able to come to that men's prayer breakfast, there's a sign-up sheet against that glass wall in the back. Just sign up 9:30 on Saturday. Take us about an hour. We'll have a good breakfast and then get you on your way after the short challenge. And then also the CPR training is there has a sign-up sheet back there as well. So we're very, very grateful for offer those opportunities. Thank you for being in church this morning. God bless you. You're dismissed.